Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Broader economy continue to emerge, and that October jobs report released recently talking about jobs and the economy. Now, if you actually saw, all the ads, and we can't miss them, right? We're being inundated with ads. I go to the mailbox, and half the mailbox is full of all of these huge glossy, you know, postcards and whatnot, which say that, one, among other things, that Kamala Harris is a champion for small business people. Well, let's ask an expert, my next guest, who is president and CEO of the Job Creators Network, author of The Real Race Revolutionaries, and yes, co-host of Main Street Matters podcast, Alfredo Ortiz. Thanks for being here today.
Absolutely, Don. Thanks for having me.
You had put out talking about the recent jobs reports showing cracks in the labor market, looking at the latest numbers. So I wonder if you could go through those with me.
Yeah, you talk about all the inundation of all these ads from Kamala. I mean, it's nonstop TV, radio. I mean, you know, there's a reason they're probably outspending Trump 2-1 because they're worried, right? Especially out there in Pennsylvania, they're definitely worried.
Yes.
And, you know, she's trying to do her best impression of being this moderate small business champion. But I have to tell you, having done this for 12 years, really defending small business, she's not anything but a small business champion. If she were, or these past few years, she wouldn't have been spending these trillions of dollars, which led to record high inflation. And frankly, is looking very forward to eliminating and not renewing the Tax and Jobs Act, which has been so, so helpful during the Trump economy to make sure that our small businesses not only survive, but really thrive. And you know, she's doing everything but really helping us. And our small business polling is confirming that. But you talked about the jobs report, for example, that just came out last week.
Yes.
It looked real rosy, but when you break it down, more than 40% of those jobs that were actually created are in government or quasi-government healthcare and social services sectors. Manufacturing jobs have declined. 500,000 more Americans are actually unemployed versus this time last year. And the number of multiple job holders have reached a new high. I think something like 8.5 million Americans are now working two jobs just to try to make ends meet.
And so that's just it that I heard just recently when the CPI numbers and all the numbers came out, the job numbers were not good, the recent ones that came out. And yet you'll always hear people say, well, it's a slightly better than it's a slightly better jobs report, a slightly better this or that. And I always equate it to saying, you know, if I gained, you know, a few pounds during the pandemic and I only gained a pound this week, I'm still up and I'm still gaining weight. Not good. You know what I mean? Like, but the way that it's reported is, I think, misleading a lot.
It really is. Yes. You know, it's so funny. I've been saying that all along about this inflation numbers because, you know, they, well, it's funny because I like calling Kamala Harris and Biden, you know, the arsonist, the firefighter arsonist, because they love taking credit for putting out the fires that they actually created. They're the ones that actually started with all this record, spending that they did, trillions of dollars, really. And all we're really seeing is inflation. The rate of increase is slowing down. So to your point, you might not be gaining 5 pounds a month anymore, right? But you're still gaining 2 pounds a month. So it's really still not very healthy at all. And look, we all feel it, right? When we go to the grocery store, when we pay our rent checks or our mortgage checks, I mean, everything, insurance, for example, is 50% higher now. I mean, I don't know about you, but where I live, I'm paying twice as much as I did just a few years ago for my car insurance. You know, rents are up, gasoline's up. I mean, overall, cost of living is up 21%. I saw a number out there that says something like it costs the average American about $22,000 more just to have the same standard of living today that they did under the Trump administration.
So as far as small businesses go, and I saw that you had put out on social media, for example, during the latest debates, that millions of the owners of small businesses watching all of this very carefully. So after the most recent debates, after, all of, everything that's happening right now, what is your take as far as the outlook for people who, obviously survived the pandemic? Because here in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, you know this, that we had among the toughest shutdowns. And I can't tell you how many people I know and how many businesses, small business owners just left. And so we're trying to rebuild. What is that outlook? What does that look like to you?
So, look, from a small business perspective, I just pray, honestly, that Trump is victorious, next month. Because if Kamala Harris and her goons, so to speak, that surround her actually win, I think it's just going to be very, very difficult for small business owners to really, not only thrive, but really barely even survive. Because she, like I said, she wants to get rid of the tax. She wants to let that expire, the Tax and Jobs Act. And everybody who's a small business owner benefited out there from what Trump did with the Tax and Jobs Act in two main big ways. One, there's a 20% tax deduction right at the top of their income, right, which helped them pay less taxes. Mm-hmm. But then there was one part, which is immediate expensing of investments into their business. That was huge for businesses, huge. And that's all going to go away. It's phasing out right now. And look, Kamala Harris hasn't done anything to try to stop that. She's been in, vice president for 4.5 years. If she's been such a champion for small businesses, where has she been for 3.5 years, right? Mm-hmm. And so, hasn't done anything. And she signed, literally trillions of dollars of increases in federal spending, which led to inflation. And she, and she's still signing off on literally with this administration, thousands and thousands of regulations, which have cost our small business owners over $2 trillion in higher expenses just to try to satisfy all those regulations. And so this is an administration that I frankly do not believe that they like small businesses. They don't believe in small businesses. As much as she says she's this champion of small businesses, she came up with this $50,000 tax deduction or whatever, which sounds great on the surface, Don, but it really isn't. Anybody who started a small business knows that. I mean, when I started a small business, it took me 3 years before I barely even saw a profit, right? That's pretty normal, right? There's an investment period. So that tax deduction isn't going to do us any good if you're not turning a profit, right? And so if you really want to help small businesses, make the environment friendlier for small business, drop our taxes, drop the regulations, allow us to do what we do best, which is thrive in an economy, which is conducive for our small business owners. And every single policy that they put out there, this administration, Biden-Harris administration, the Democrats, are all antithesis to what it takes to make small businesses thrive.
And I know that you've said, Alfredo, you've said that in the nation that, 5 million of the small businesses, 5 million are Hispanic owned. You've said small businesses are responsible for 2/3 of the labor force. And so this drives the economy, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So I know that, for example, former President Trump was here in Pennsylvania just this week again. And obviously courting the Hispanic vote was in areas of Pennsylvania where there's a large Hispanic population and trying to speak to exactly the individuals that you're talking about. How do you feel that he is performing as far as trying to talk, trying to put his case forward to get the job? And how do you think what's your evaluation of the way that the campaign is reaching out to especially Hispanic small business owners, but Hispanics in general as well?
Yeah. Well, look, I think, the fortunate thing about President Trump is that he actually has a record to talk about, right? A record of success. And small business owners, in particular Hispanic small business owners, they did extremely well under the Trump administration. They had, for example, record high wages, for example. They had home ownership that was record numbers, right? And so they know that the environment that Donald Trump created, basically presented an environment for them to be able to succeed, to put those American dreams really in place and to actually succeed in those. And these policies that now this administration, the current administration, the Biden-Harris administration put forth, really are not helping them at all. And the inflation, for example, is killing our small businesses, Hispanic small business in particular. The crime, actually, that is impacting a lot of these small businesses that are Hispanic small businesses coming from the border is really significant, and it's really impacting their businesses. And so they know that the Trump administration has a record that they can point to that they felt and they benefited from. And now they're looking at this administration going, wait a minute, we aren't better off than we were 4 years ago. In fact, Our businesses are hurting. Our customers are hurting. I mean, when you look at their credit card debt overall for all of America, we're at record high credit card debt of $1.3 trillion. Savings rates are at half of what the average is, at 4% versus 8%. I mean, this is not a situation that's good for all of Americans. Hispanic businesses in particular are really, really hitting it, are getting hit hard, because those customers that are, you know, the customers of these Hispanic small businesses tend to be the customers that are being hit the hardest with this record high inflation, and are ones that are really, really suffering and barely making it from paycheck to paycheck. And a lot of those 8.5 million Americans that are working are Hispanic Americans that are working two jobs just to try to make ends meet. And so from a customer perspective and from the business perspective on the Hispanic front, things are just not good. And so they know it, they feel it, and they know that under Donald Trump, things were a lot better.
Well, speaking of that, and I'd love to look back sometimes at some of the national archives and find the actual news releases and headlines. And so one clip that I found was a quote from you that's in our national archives, in the official record in our nation. And that is, quote, "Tax bill is a Christmas present Americans have been waiting for." This is dated December 13th, 2017. Can you take me back? Because you were part of this pending tax cut legislation. I just want to remind people, you know, of what was going on. And at this point, December 13th, 2017, take us back, if you would, just for a moment, and remind us about that tax cut bill that you took part, right? You helped write this, or you authored it?
Yeah. Well, we were very instrumental on the small business portion in particular, because we knew, again, you know, to the points you were making here, how important small businesses really were to our economy. And remember, this is pre-pandemic, and you know, when we all felt, you know, during the pandemic, how important small businesses were when our main streets were shut down. And so we knew that it was important to be able to give our small businesses these tax cuts. And so, if you remember, good old Paul Ryan was out there talking about tax reforms in about June of that year. And we said, well, you know, that's nice, but, you know, tax reform could mean taxes up or taxes down. Well, we really want our taxes down, right? So we want tax cuts. And so Newt Gingrich and I were really pushing for tax cuts. And then in particular on the small business front, we wanted that, you know, that deduction that I mentioned to happen, and also the small interest, the immediate expensing on investments in your business. Because we knew that that was the way to really make sure that our small businesses continue to invest in their businesses. And frankly, through the success of those businesses, they would then take that and they would hire more people, right? And this is exactly what we expected, and even our polling said would happen, and did happen. With the savings that they were actually were able to have, they invested back in their business either through hiring more people, higher wages, better benefits, or frankly, just reinvesting back in their business for more equipment, for example, that they would make to make their business grow, which then would be able to hire more people. And so this was such an important part of the Trump economy, mm-hmm. and why the success that we all felt was really the investment back into our small businesses and allowing them to actually thrive, not just survive, but really thrive. But again, creating that environment that helps them. We all, I think, a lot of us, myself included, owned our small business. We know how hard it is to start a small business. And so what we need to do is create that environment. You know, 97% of small businesses fail in the first year.
Yeah.
So it's not an easy thing to get into, right? And so we need to, as a government, as an economy, do everything possible that we can to make sure that we ensure further success of our small business, because two-thirds of new job growth is in the hands of our small businesses. And so the more we can do to help free up, you know, the like I said, the regulations, put more money in the pockets of our small business owners, the better off we are. But the thing is, these are real things that are being done, not this, you know, placations basically being done by Kamala Harris that says, oh, we're going to be doing this, and, you know, small business is so important to me. Again, where has she been for 3.5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Right? All of a sudden, I have to tell you, and being in this business for 12 years that I've been doing this, I can't even tell you the last time I've seen the small business administrator on TV talking about small business. You know what the only time I've seen her on TV about when her name came out? When they announced that they were putting her as the administrator of small business 3.5 years ago. And they said, look, we have now a woman as a small business administrator. That was the big news.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I haven't seen anything or heard anything from her.
Yeah. Well, we want to hear more from you. Alfredo Ortiz, CEO of the Job Creators Network, thanks so much for being here and just putting it in a way that we can all understand all the math and how it works with a proven winner. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, Alfredo Ortiz. Hope you come back again. You know, as I look back at this, and that's one of the things I talk about is a track record. And that's one of the things Alfredo said that I think is important when you look back at this plan. And I was just looking, this is National Archives. You can look this up yourself. But what was it? They actually doubled the standard deduction for that was doubled the child tax credit. They doubled it at the time. They eliminated the 15% tax bracket in favor of a expanded 12% rate. This was done. Okay, this is not just a proposal. And think about how quickly it was done. And that's what he was alluding to. Because remember Paul Ryan, who ended up retiring and going back to Wisconsin. And remember, it was more of the rhetoric. Trump, I think, butted heads with Ryan in part. Now you know why, because he was like, no, we can do this now. Let's do this now. Move it. And really push this and propose this. And it got through. Now, remember the tax cuts, the so-called Trump tax cuts, they go away in early 2025. So we're months away from losing all of that. So in part of it, you know, expanding that 12% rate, the media coverage at the time, I'll take you back to 2017. Oh, this is helping out the rich. It's a gift to the rich. But they were not telling the truth on the new 23% tax deduction for those small businesses. That was new for those people that had a business earning less than $500,000, $500,000 a year. The media said that one, it was a budget buster. Well, I ask you, was it a budget buster? No, it was not. And by the way, the tax cuts, they had to be for families earning $59,000 a year. That was who they targeted. And it halved, cut in half the tax bill for the average family earning $75,000 a year. Does that sound like rich people? No. Dan, tell me what you said.
Need to hear about your upcoming trip.
Oh, yes. Speaking of, I mean, this is amazing. And I have so many of you have been asking, when are we returning to paradise? So please, yes, cue in the music. We got to return to Italy, this time the Italian Riviera, on a gastronomical event only Conservative Tours can deliver. And you know I'm right on this. So I want you to join me for 11 luxurious days with the professionals from Conservative Tours. I'm so excited about this. And you know, if you joined me last spring in southern Italy, you know Conservative Tours, hands down, the best tour operator in all of Italy. And yes, they have an A-plus rating with the BBB, the Better Business Bureau.
I want to remind listeners, too, I was talking to a friend who went last year and said one of the most underrated aspects of this entire trip is that you essentially get to live alongside Dawn Senslin for a multiple amount of days, and you get to see a side of Dawn that you don't necessarily get to see on air all the time. Yes.
But here's the thing. What happens in Italy stays in Italy.
We'll just leave it there. You got to go on the trip to find out what we're talking about.
Thank you for that, Dan. Thank you. Yeah, we had so much fun. And so many of you were, you know, texting me going, I can't wait. So what are we talking about? Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany. Yes, Tuscany. I've always wanted to go to Tuscany. And also the brilliant Cinque Terre, 5378. That's with your airfare. It includes airfare, $53.78. Dining events at wineries in Tuscany. Visiting an authentic farm to see exactly how Parmesan cheese is crafted by hand. Call toll-free 888-733-9494. You can go to conservativetours.com, conservativetours.com. Ah, the hidden Italian villages you've never seen, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa that we've all heard about, Michelangelo's Florence and Milan, concluding on the Lakes region with Bellagio, Orta, and Isola Bella. Join me next spring in Italy. I can't wait. I can't wait. And let me know. Call in. Let me know when you've booked it, too, so we can chat about it. But I want to see you next spring in Italy. See you in Cinque Terre. ConservativeTours.com. Tell them Dawn sent you. Thank you to the hard work of law enforcement who apparently thwarted this terrorist attack against Americans on Election Day. This is an Afghan national. Learning new details on it, but he was accused, I think I reported this a week ago or so, but he was accused of plotting this ISIS-style Election Day terror attack in the United States of America. And some say worked for the CIA in Afghanistan. Others say no, he was never an employee, but came here to this country and was 27 years old with a wife and a child. Nasir Tawhidi arrested in Oklahoma over this alleged terror plot, and then had gotten one-way tickets, had sold all of the family assets, was going to head back to Afghanistan after he allegedly was going to carry out this attack on November 5th. So it's disturbing. It's it rattles many. But this was a situation where he was somebody who came, I guess, under the cloak that he was, because this was right in 2021. And in the aftermath of what happened in Afghanistan, had reportedly worked in some capacity for the CIA, but now that's being denied. So just wanted to update you that because we can see the charging documents and what they're saying. But it's terrifying to think about who may have come here under that kind of cloak or lie, but as well then all of those others who are plotting attacks, and this during a time when law enforcement across the board, federal, statewide, local, when law enforcement is stretched thin. So that's terrifying. And I wonder how they actually caught him, because supposedly he was ordering all these high powered rifles. And I just wonder if it was a neighbor who saw all these shipments come in. Because remember, we've heard that before, even locally. People, all of a sudden, they're getting all these strange shipments, and they're coming to the house. And so was it a delivery person? Was it a neighbor who said, something's not right? It's also significant in what we're learning, how he was paid. And part of this, you know, you hear locally even some of the protesters, the pro-Palestinian protesters, and they said, oh, we've been donating to these charities, right, in certain Middle Eastern places. Well, it turns out that that's how this guy, who's an accused, you know, terrorist, that's how he was paid, that they funnel the money through these alleged charities and nonprofits, which are not at all a charity, don't go to the causes they say in the Middle East, but rather go to the terrorists. So I think those are some significant, you know, factoids. I want to give you the facts. I want to give you what's in these documents that we're getting. I want to switch gears here as we think about locally, and we always tell you when there's a campaign. This week, Liz Cheney and three other women were here in the Keswick, right? In Glenside, they were campaigning for Vice President Kamala Harris and meeting with what they called a chat with women. We saw former President Trump here in Pennsylvania. We've talked a lot about that this week. So the Democrats are bringing out the biggity bigs. And one of them is former President Barack Obama, was just here yesterday. So Dan, I know you have a plethora of audio, not just with former President Obama, who was here, mm-hmm. and targeting, I think he seems to be speaking in particular,
yeah,
to African-American men, young men, who we see maybe either staying at home or maybe voting for Trump. So, and you also have some reaction from different individuals. You want to take us through it?
Yeah, so what we have some audio from is a Black Voters for Harris event in East Liberty that I think has kind of flown under the radar compared to the mantle speech that, you know, Obama gave yesterday that's being covered by the, you know, legacy media and such. So we'll get into that in a second. But first, I want to, panic has stricken. You hear it in Obama's voice when we're going to play back what he says to Black voters about their lack of support for Kamala. But also today on MSNBC, Lauren Leader appeared. A thought leader is how she bills herself a lot of times.
She's a thought leader.
Yeah, that's so okay. Corny. Whoever bills himself as a thought leader already is down a couple of notches in my book. But she appeared on MSNBC and had some comments about Republicans, sexism, and takes aim at white women for supporting Trump. Take a listen.
I mean, the gender gap has been growing for years, right? This is not new to this election cycle. Like, we've seen this for the last decade, that Democrats have skewed more, Democrats and independents have skewed more female, and Republicans have skewed more male. Trump accelerated that, right? And, you know, put that trend on steroids. And then the questions that we were asking over the last few years was he going to try to expand the tent, try to expand his base and his outreach to women? I mean, the answer was clearly no. J.D. Vance was a very clear statement. You know, they've been very comfortable with the ways in which they've alienated, for instance, suburban women who were so the key to their very consistent losses, by the way, since 2016, right? Because as Mara said, women are more likely to turn out to vote. That's why Joe Biden won Pennsylvania, even though there was a Republican advantage. Right. Women turned out in greater numbers. They flipped Pennsylvania for Joe. That's absolutely what has to happen this time. Still, I do worry, and I sort of agree with Molly, although I don't know, maybe Harris should go on Joe Rogan.
Wait, just got something there. You think she'd actually, or he'd actually want Harris on
no.
Joe Rogan?
Yeah. No. No.
Yeah, come on.
Absolutely. Harris should maybe go she'd on Joe Rogan.
Sorry, what'd you say?
Maybe she'd toke with Rogan. Wouldn't that be fun?
It would be fun. Yeah, she had a beer with Colbert, toke with Rogan, like Elon, yeah. Here's some more.
This should go on Joe Rogan. I do worry because I think, first of all, on the white women, Trump has lost no ground since 16 with white women. We're still seeing 50% of white women supporting
right,
him, which I know drives a lot of Democratic women nuts because it's so hard to wrap our heads around. But on the, you know, with black men in Michigan, like, she has to win them. The margins are so thin that if she can't win over, and that's why I was so happy to hear Barack Obama say that last night. I mean, we've all been seeing this under the surface.
She's
have to go after those voters. The question is, can you convince people if the base is sexism?
If the base is sexism.
Yeah, can you convince voters if their base is sexist?
Excuse me.
What?
Excuse me, Cabana Boy. Can you get me a triple venti non-fat latte?
Be right back there,
with a shot of cocoa while I talk like this. Because that's how I order my venti latte thingamajiggy. Which I don't even go to those places, so I don't even know the lingo.
Are you a thought leader on the cup and
are
call
you a
me
leader?
By the thought leader?
Wow. Anybody who talks like that, but it's a sexism. And so going to the emotion of it, right? Telling young women, just saying, hey, don't look at that. Anybody who's, first of all, number one, claims they're a thought leader, and they say it like that. And then on top of it, they tell you not to think. That's a troublesome combo. I think we can put a little red flag on that.
So from her bio on her website. Lauren Leader is a thought leader and advisor who has devoted her career to advancing gender equality in American democracy.
Gender equality? Yeah, but seriously, she's not giving any facts that I'm hearing. She's just talking like this, and she's saying she's a thought leader, but you don't think, young woman, because she's going to think for you. And you just trust her that these other folks, they are sexist and they are horrible, monster, dangerous to democracy, blah, 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 blah. Well, okay, what's your basis? Let's look at the facts. Let's read the actual policy. And it's really the theme of today, Dan, if I think about it, because what we have going on now is that when you look at the facts and you don't believe all the stuff on social media and you don't believe all the influencers, but you just look at the facts, things like, you know, the law or things, you know, like policy that was in Trump's administration, it's all a proven winner. And that's just it. I'm trying to stick. I'm not talking about conspiracy theories. I don't go to that. Because, number one, it's low-hanging fruit. It's easy. Makes our jobs easier. We don't have to look through court records and all that good stuff, right? And so I'm just trying to bring you the facts, not all of the other stuff. But think about the truth, the actual policy. That's what matters, because that policy makes a difference. As my last guest said, as Alfredo Ortiz said, that those policies are proven winners that make a huge difference in our lives, the lives of our children and grandchildren. 855-839-1210, the number to call. So my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles feature the latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands like Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and so much more. It's so funny. I'll be somewhere the other day in the grocery store, and somebody said, "Dawn, say Alfa Romeo." It's just a hoot. We were at the Don Jr. event was that a couple weeks ago? And somebody said, Dawn, say Maserati. So, you know what? Hey, if you're driving around in one of these Piazza vehicles, God bless you. You know, you've worked for it. You've earned it. And so now it's time. You go get it. You know, and you're my role model right now, right? I'm still in the minivan stage. The kids are still in school, but someday. Innovative features. They have such beautiful, sleek new designs, and these innovative features featured and really powered by the latest in technology. Thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles available across Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey in their dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles, they do stand out, don't they? Visit PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Gender gap has been growing for years, right? This is not new to this election cycle. Like, we've seen this for the last decade.
Totally leave room for Craig.
Why are you talking like that?
Why are you talking like that?
Because this is my voice?
This is my voice.
No, it's not. I heard you talking a minute ago. I know you don't talk like that.
Neither do you, because nobody actually talks like this. You choose to talk like this. And today I chose to talk like this. Pretty annoying, isn't it?
Dan, I just love you more every day.
It's a great show. I don't know if you ever watched Louder Milk now on Netflix. Ron Livingston.
You know, Larry loves this show, my husband. And so.
It doesn't surprise me.
And so, yeah. So he played one day, and that probably, maybe that was living, you know, rent free in my head when I heard the clips you were playing. But that was perfect, you know, that way that I speak.
It's so annoying.
Not later.
No, it's not. I heard you talking a minute ago. I know you don't talk like that.
It's hysterical. So do you want to get to Obama here a little bit? So this is former President Barack Obama. He is the superstar. I'm surprised Democrats tried to change the rules. I'm actually surprised they didn't just try to change the rule and figure out a way that he could run for president again, right? Because he is the superstar, and they all know it. But the truth is, we saw him go out for Hillary, and people came out to see him. Everybody in droves. I remember he was in the art museum area, and I tried to bring my sons just whenever somebody's in town. I do, especially when they were little, you know, try to, you know, introduce them, say, this is the president, or this is the, you know, former president, whatever. So it was jam packed. So he is a superstar. But here's the thing. Even though people might flock to see Obama, I don't know how that translates. And that's the real question.
It's sad that he gets such high turnouts while she's struggling, allegedly busing people around to events and stuff. Mm-hmm. So here's Obama speaking to East Liberty, Pennsylvania, Black Voters for Harris event. Take a listen, and CNN's been covering this as well.
I'm speaking to men directly. Part of it makes me think that, well, you just aren't feeling the idea of a woman is president. And you're coming up with other alternatives and other reasons for it. The women in our lives have been in our backs this entire time. They've been raising us and working and having our backs. And when we get in trouble, and the system's not working for us, they're the ones who are out there marching and protesting.
I think it's falling on deaf ears to the sense that, do you really think, Dawn, that this is happening out here, that it's because of a lack of Black men thinking that a woman can be president is the reason why Black men aren't supporting Kamala, or do you just think it's that she's a bad candidate all around?
I think that, okay, even remember Elon Musk. Let's go to, and I know that people, you know, kind of joke that he's an African-American who's for Trump. But he was born in Africa, so that's cute. But remember that Elon Musk he stood in line famously, loved Obama. And that's when the Democrats loved Elon Musk. Because Elon Musk, remember, I mean, he's a guy, Tesla, right? Electric vehicles and looking at technology and developing technology that's more efficient and that pollutes less, right? And so there was Elon Musk who was was a huge Obama supporter, stood in line, wanted his autograph, for crying out loud. So Elon Musk is somebody who I think I would say my sons, because I'm not in a household where I would say nasty things about somebody just because they're a Democrat. I think there were, I can say that I look at the good qualities of different leaders who I think are important in our time. And so would my sons want to have a handshake with or see up close and personal a former president, Barack Obama? Yes, sure. Elon Musk was a fan of his and liked a lot about Barack Obama. So did many Americans, obviously, because he was elected not once but twice, right? But the thing is, Barack Obama is not running for president. And that's the problem. Does he raise the energy level? I guess when he's here. But I think people, as far as this goes, have made up their minds, just like the one who talks like this. Like she said. And when you look,
not over you, because nobody actually talks like this.
But think about that, that about consistently, when you look at, you know, those women voters, you have a core of women voters who, you know what they care about? Peace and prosperity. That's what they're going to vote on. Boom. I mean, that's just it. And so I don't know that he wins over young men, or in particular, young African-American men. Do you? I don't see it. I think people have made up their minds about Barack Obama, even though those same individuals would probably vote for him if he were the candidate running right now. Do you see what I'm saying? So I don't know if you disagree with me on that one, but 855-839-1210, effective. You know what he did? I'll tell you the one thing before this is how I'll close. I'll say, you know what he reminded us of? A real candidate who knows how to campaign, unlike somebody who hides from everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you look at him, you go, oh, yeah, he's so good. And then where's the other one he's talking about? Nowhere. And was he on a stage with the vice president? Right? She wasn't there with him. Yeah. Right? All right. Enough. We'll take your thoughts. 855-839-1210. I got to take a break here, but I got to talk about Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. You know by now. I mean, they've done beautiful work in my home. I think the world and respect the Chapman family team, Mike and Mark Chapman. I trust them. Chapman is doing something really cool. They are, this is for the rest of the month. They've been doing this throughout October, I've been telling you. So you got to send them a picture of your front door. They're giving you the chance to get $1,000 in credit toward a new front door. So send them a photo of your current front door right now. Everybody who sends in the photo, you get automatically, you're going to get the $500 in credit toward a new door. But one lucky person with the door most in need for a little TLC or maybe a lot of TLC, you're going to get $1,000 in credits. An updated front door obviously changes the curb appeal, changes the entire look of your home. It's like an instant makeover, increases the value, all of that. And they're going to work with you as far as their experienced project consultants. And this is whether it's a single door, double door, or the door like mine has the side lights on it. So just call them or you can text, okay? 610-431-8898, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you. I don't know if you're heading to the Zioli show to Cape May. What an incredible evening, because the sun will be out, 71 degrees. But if you stay in Cape May, my goodness, a summer-like weekend, because upper, you know, 77 degrees, bright sunny skies.
You heading down?
Beautiful. I cannot.
But you got some football games to attend this weekend?
We have so much, and I wish I could. One of these, is this the last one he said? I forget. If he said it, I hope it's not the last one.
I don't know for sure.
Because the other thing is, you know, Wonderland, this is Gillian's, this is Sunday is the last day. So actually, I should send Rich a little note. He and Bridget take the kids over. You know what I mean? Just it's such memories, and it's just, it makes me sad.
Did you make it down the shore at all this weekend? Or this summer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Many times.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
Good for you, Dawn. Good for you.
You have to.
Well, I actually went down to Mulligan's a couple times. Fantastic times down there. Those Dawn broadcasts.
Yes. And when we think about praying, you know, there are my friends and family down there, but whether you do or you don't, in the storm aftermath of six southern states, you think about all of these deaths, the destruction, all of those helping out. The latest death toll I saw just in Florida, 16 people have died in Florida with Hurricane Milton, but they're calling this a 1,000-year rainfall event. 18 inches pounding down on some of those areas.
What a week.
Oh, my gosh.
You have October 7th. You have all these hurricane relief of Helene kicking off the week, then Milton rolling in. And last night, we have an aurora borealis over Philadelphia because of a solar storm.
Amazing.
Did you see that?
I didn't, and I was on the road. We had a football game last night, which I'm trying not to talk about too much. But
why
man,
is that?
Refs,
yeah,
dirty. We were like the moms, you know.
Were you yelling from the bleachers?
Oh yes, yeah, totally.
You're one of those parents.
Dirty.
I love
dirty.
It.
Dirty. They were. You should see. We're texting each other. I hope Greg Stocker is not listening, but you know we have our mom group text of all of our kids. You know, bruised and battered and dirty plays.
From football, yes.
Yeah, from football, not from politics. So there's that going on. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to talk about it?
I'm not, no.
I mean, we can have a couch session if we need.
We were respectful, but we did say dirty. I'm just saying dirty. Some dirty plays, dirty refs. I'm just saying. Maybe they have eye problems.
One more thing before we get going. What's an update on the injury? How are we doing?
Oh, yeah. So my kid, I'm there because he can finally go to the and just dress and sit on the. But the concussion, thanks for asking. Concussion protocols. So he didn't play. So hopefully next week he can play.
Gotcha.
But you have to be careful with these concussions.
You have to be very careful. It's very important.
It's scary. And it's scary to see, and you think about back in the day, it's scary to see because how it affects him. He can't recall things, mm-hmm. even reading and doing homework. And so that's something you got to take care
of
yourself.
This is your son already? With the concussion?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
So with David's concussion. But he recovers. He's healing, Dan. So it's good.
Yeah.
Today was a good day. Thanks for all the information. I mean, I think that the audio, and we'll continue to follow with the top story today at 10. And that was, you know, just the reveal of these court records and what's being done. But we do expect, like I say, to get a court ruling from that appellate court in New York as they indeed, that five-judge panel is looking at this. And will they not only overturn the Angamoron case, overturn that case, but then even censure in some ways Letitia James and company? Wouldn't that be sweet? So maybe it is Red October after all, even though I'm sad about our Phillies.
Bitter.
I know.
That too this week. What a horrible week.
But I know. It's just, there's never a slow news day. But Dom Giordano, I know, has an incredible guest, among others, coming up on this Friday, October 11th. I hope you have a blessed Friday, a blessed weekend. Be safe if you're driving to Cape May to be with my dear friend Zioli. Give him a big hug for me, if you would. Dom Giordano, I know you have an action-packed show.
Well, thanks, Dawn. Yes, Al Schmidt, who has a lot to do with who wins Pennsylvania, which means who is president. He's here at 1 o'clock, and this should be interesting. A lot of things. He's the Secretary of State. He gives all the guidance and more on voting. Also, the invasion of these Delco Trump offices, we hope to have the people on. These were women in their offices, climate activists going after them. Not one, not two, but three or four offices.
Perfect. Dom Giordano show is right now.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.